Church.
Appreciate that. If you can, please help me introduce our final speaker for this particular portion.
Hi, I'm George. I'm an addict.
Hey, George.
I got clean February 27th, 1977. My first NA meeting, I had about a week clean. It was at a rehab facility, outpatient, and I had no idea what it was. I sat in there. At this point, I wasn't allowed to talk in rehab, and it was a round robin. I don't know, 12, 14 people. At the end, they asked me if I wanted to share. I told them I wasn't allowed because I had no idea that this was a different thing. And they assured me that I could share. I said, really? You know. Now, I hallucinated my first 40 days clean, okay? So auditory, visual. So I had, you know, less than 2 weeks at this point. And I started sharing. They said, George, we're out of time. Thanks for sharing. And keep coming back. And what I heard was, great job. We need you to keep coming back. We need you. And I found a home. Okay. I started an NA meeting in 79. No, 79, I think. A girlfriend's counselor suggested we were looking for something to do. At this point, NA for me was not a place to get clean. It was a place to meet other addicts, and that's what I knew I needed, other recovering addicts. And she suggested that because we were looking to socialize with people like us. In that process, she wound up, we started it, and then she left, and I was running the meeting by myself, and there wasn't a lot of people there. And I was at a rehab, and someone asked me if I could give them a ride to a meeting. And I said, does it matter which meeting I take you to? And they said, no, it doesn't, as long as it's on the meeting list, we're allowed to go. And I think we just got on the meeting list. So thought, if I stop at the rehab before every meeting, I can get a carload of people to go with me to the meeting. And sooner or later they would get out and maybe they would come back and we would start having people come to the meeting, you know. That meeting, through that, another one sprang off, and then we actually had a step meeting going. I didn't really understand that, but because, like, you know, my idea of the steps were, like, I would look at them and I would go, well, I worked the first step, I stayed clean, I yelled at my dad and I said I was sorry, so I did, I don't know, 8, 9, 10, you know, like, that's how I did the step. I could throw even the fourth, because, you know, that's how I worked the steps. I had no clue, and there wasn't anybody telling me any different, you know. But the Sunday meeting was important. It was called the Sunday Steppers in Humeville. We used the AA 12 and 12 in the meeting. And now, we had it all doctored up. Where it said alcohol, we crossed it off and put Narcotics Anonymous. So now it was an NA book, you know. And wherever it said alcohol, we put drugs. And we were stuck on somewhere in there it says John Barleycorn. We had no idea what the hell that was. But anyway, we were using that, and at one of we had to join area so that way we could get on the meeting list, and in that process there was like a region, and I actually got a elected public relations officer. This was like beginning in 1980, and so we had committee, like when we did things in our area, like it was only a couple carloads of people, but we, like, everybody showed up for the public relations meeting. Everybody went, you know, to the diner afterwards. You know, whatever we did it in as many people, and no one, you know, everyone came. Like, that's just how it was. Just like today, I had a 15-person van that we took to come here, and things still go on, maybe on a little bigger scale today, you know. We attended a regional service, and there was a guy there, Bob P. from Pittsburgh. He had just come back from the 1980 World Service Conference, and there was wind that like we couldn't use any outside literature in our meetings. And we said, wait a minute, then what can we use, you know? And we said, besides, we change it. We got to show them what we did. Then he'll understand, okay? And at the meeting, we were told that we absolutely couldn't use it. You know, it's not like they're going to come down and arrest us, but we're violating traditions, and they want to make that clear. And like, so we said, well, then what can we do? And they said, well, you know, you can. They said you can use NA literature. And we said, what's that? And they said, well, anything that an NA member writes is NA literature, and you can use it in the meeting. So right then, now, at this point, I'm 20 years old, and everybody in my area is around that age or younger. Okay, we are a young area. And everyone that was at the meeting, probably a couple carloads, everyone, we'll write the NA steps then. And so we said, okay, then that's what we're going to do. And the next week we started a meeting writing the NA steps. This is the result of us having meetings. I'm sorry, I get emotional. Because October 18th, 1980, NA Regional Service meeting at Camp Hill, Pennsylvania. George R. passed out copies of the 12 steps to all areas. Okay? That went to all the areas that were in our region, and this is what we used until the basic text came out. Well, actually, probably until the grade book came out. But what we did is, and if you look on here, you can see K, AJ, G, what we did is we recorded a meeting, then we transcribed it, and then somebody actually have a typed version of this also. They said, when you go to write the steps, you know, maybe you should coordinate. They're writing the NA big book, and this guy, they gave us the World Literature Chair's phone number, and in one of our meetings, we sat there. Now, this is 1980. This is before the first East Coast Convention. The East Coast Convention was in June, so this is probably March or something. And we had our meeting. Somewhere during the meeting, somebody said, you know, we're supposed to call that guy from World Services, you know? And they're like, well, who wants to call him? And then finally, we were meeting at Kenny and Phil's apartment, and Kenny said, look, it's my place, I'll dial. You got the most clean time, you talk. So I call and I ask for Boo. And it goes, this is Bo. And I said, well, I'm George R. from Bristol. We're writing the NA steps, and I was told to call you and let you know what we're doing. And this is my response. Hallelujah! 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 I go, what's going on? I said, I think I reached a preacher or something. He said, we're meeting here in Marietta, Georgia at the Rising Sun Clubhouse, and we're having our literature meeting at the same time. We're writing the NA big book. We need to get together. And then in the process, this was actually, now I remember, this was right before the East Coast Convention, because he said, we were thinking about coming up to the East Coast Convention, but we weren't sure. I'm definitely coming up. We're going to come up and meet these guys. We got to meet these guys, you know. So at the East Coast Convention, they actually had a meeting there for the NA Big Book, and Bo gave a presentation, but we met all the people from like Marietta that came up, Linda, Motorcycle Ed, Tom M, you know, and a lot of people from our group got to meet them. 2 weeks later, at the convention, Bo said, you need to, like, you know, you should run your literature committee, and we should coordinate, you know, to be writing the book. It's great that you're writing the steps, keep going, but, you know, we're working on the book and let's coordinate, you know. So 2 weeks, he said, let's meet. There was a mini convention in Greenville, South Carolina, and there he gave me the proposed handbook, and later I got the for the literature committee, and it tells you to pick a chairperson and treasurer, and you know, and so on, and that's how we got involved with the basic text. We were already meeting, we just, you know, we were writing the steps, which, you know, we wound up doing. And then later on, what we also did is we started getting copies of the Rainbow Connection, and in our literature committee we would write also and send articles to the Rainbow Connection. They would get printed. Man, if you want to see people get on fire about writing literature, write something, you get it published, and then you get it. George, you see what, look what, you know, it was really cool. Like, so we were like on fire. I wound up, Bo kept telling me to go to the World Convention and then the Second World Literature Conference in Lincoln, Nebraska. The 10th World Convention was in Wichita, Kansas. And I was trying to get people. We were broke. I mean, we had no money. I was 20 years old, and I actually, to go to that, I sold my washer and dryer, and I bought a train ticket because I couldn't afford to fly. It took me a day and a half to get out there on the train. And then the guy who just passed away, Jim Nichols, who I hadn't met at that point, was at the train station. And Bo had this all set. I had no idea who I was meeting. I just showed up. I had no phone numbers. I'm looking around, and Hutchinson, Kansas is where Jim picked me up. The train station's a shed, and it's got a sign on the side, you know, tumbleweeds. You know, are you George R.? Yeah, you Jim, you know. Yeah, I'm giving you a ride to the convention, you know. Now, when I got there, I had $70 for the 4 days at the convention, the 7 days at the literature conference, and the day and a half train ride there and the day and a half ride back. I think I was broke before we got to the literature conference. I didn't have a place to stay. And this became an MO for the literature conferences. Just come. We'll figure all that stuff out when you get there, you know. So, you know, at the literature conference, I went to Lincoln. We did rough draft, which I have up here. We did an outline there, I'm sorry. That's the first thing that we did. And then they had a couple footlockers of literature that Jimmy Kay had from people just writing articles and sending them in. And so what we did is all this stuff was distributed. You know, we would get, I don't know, you know, like a pile like this. And then you had to skim through it. Okay, now you got to remember, there was no NA literature. Sure, this is good stuff, man. You know, wait a minute. You know, and you go to put your feet up. You know, you and like, no, we, you know, we couldn't do that. We had to just skim. We were there to work. That was the purpose. You know, and it actually take a couple copies so we could take back to our areas. You got to, you know, just read through. And then what we would do is decide what chapter this page, you know, should go on. So like be chapter 4, chapter 2, we had the outline, we just wrote like 8A or you know, 6C, like whatever it was that we were doing, that's the process. And eventually by the end of the conference we had the two footlockers divvied up into the chapters that the work was supposed to be on. At the end of the conference, Greg and Bo and I think Bob B, I don't know who else. I wasn't a part of it. I was one of the skimmers. They sat down and they devised they did the first 7 or 8 pages of our basic text through what was later became known as the cut and paste process, which Al talked about a little bit. Now, in my area, after what they did is they read the pages, everybody got, I wish I still had a copy of it, and I probably do, I just don't know what it is. They sent everybody that was at the conference home with the first page of our basic text to show everybody that we're writing this, you know. we learned the process that we were going to take this literature and get it into some kind of written form was through the cut and paste process, going through the outlines that we had. And so what we later did in our, Bo said, instead of waiting for Memphis to start doing the work, we have these active literature committees. We could start working on the chapters in between conferences. So he gave us Bucks County. We got Chapter 8, and we did the cut and paste process. And this is kind of what it looks like. If you see here, there's like three different writings. We, you know, cut the stuff out. Like you see, like, you know, sometimes it'd be a sentence or you know, it could be a paragraph, but all different kinds of writing. See, this page has, what, 7 different cutouts and paste on it. This is the process that we use now. Once we got this done, then it was typed up, then it was reviewed and edited. But that happened. Now, let me back up a little bit. Bucks County got Chapter 8. Bucks County borders Philadelphia, okay? And the guys in Philadelphia asked us if we would move our literature committee to Philadelphia. And the people, we were Bristol Lit. And they said, well, what are we going to be? Philadelphia Lit? We're Bristol Lit, you know? You know, we got stuff written in, you know, the Rainbow Connection under Bristol Lit. Like, what, you know, and, you know, so I had to go and tell them. I said, sorry, but, like, they don't want to come into the city, you know, like, you know, can't you guys make it to the meeting? And they said, all us guys travel by public transportation. We can't, you know, like, there, it would take us 3 hours to get to the apartments that you have the meetings in. And then the next week they came to me and they said, we have a solution. I said, what's that? They said, will you run a literature committee for us in the Northeast? And I said, well, you know, why do you need me? I said, you guys can do it yourself. And they said, well, you're the only experienced person that we know that knows how to do this. And I got to tell you, when I thought about it, this 20-year-old kid, and I was the only person that had experience. So I was the only one out there in Memphis from Pennsylvania, New Jersey. Like there, you know, and I kind of wondered when I got out there at Lincoln, there was only like 33, 36 people. And to me, this was important. I'm like, how is there not like hundreds of people here? Like, you know, and Greg used to say only 1% of us do, you know, all the service work, you know, that type of stuff. And so I started running their committee, and then I showed up for the first committee, and I said, well, this is where Bristol Lit left off. And they looked at me and they said, what, we don't get our own chapter? And I said, the thought never occurred to me. And they said, well, we want to do our own work. And now, let me tell you the first meeting in Philadelphia. Okay, it was at this girl, Debbie S.'s house. Okay, we had it in her living room. I actually was outside the hallway shouting into the room because the floor was covered completely with bodies. So, like, I couldn't walk through there. They were there to write, and they were there to participate in the writing of the N.A. Big Book. And it gave me goosebumps. Like, I'm like, are you serious? Like, you want me to run this? And they're like, well, who else is going to do it, you know? And so I called Bo, and I said, hey, like, you know, they want their own chapter. And he's like, well, isn't it the same? And I go, no, it's not. It's not remotely the same. It's totally two different groups. I understand they're, you know, half an hour's ride apart, you know, but like it is, it's two different groups. I said, actually, the second group has twice as many people as the first group, maybe even three. And so he sent Chapter 10 to Philadelphia. And through the cut and paste process, we did both chapters we had completed by the Memphis Conference. At the Memphis Conference, like I said, it was typed out, it was then reviewed, and then it was edited. At the conference, I thought, you know, I got experience now. I've done two chapters, been to World Service. I get these ideas that I'm kind of important, okay? And I said, you know, Bo, I think I should be on one of the editing teams. And he said, well, truthfully, I want you to work on the chapters that some of the other committees didn't complete. I said, I'm being demoted. No ego here, you know. I mean, but I was better than most of those other people, all right? You know. And I said to him, how come I can't do the new stuff? And he said, George, I need to know that this work will get done so that we can move on to the next phase. And he says, I can't think of another person that has more experience in Narcotics Anonymous in this cut and paste process than you at this moment. So who would you pick? So wait, I'll do it. Dick, you know? Then I had another epiphany after we got through the review process. Bo actually had newcomers reading the work and letting us know what they thought of it. They're in a rehab, and they shipped them from the rehab. I go, Bo, like, what's going on here? I go, these people don't know shit about it. And he goes, George, who do you think we're writing the book for? He goes, if they can't get it, we failed at our job. I said, okay, you got a point. So out of that conference, we completed the editing, and this is what's known as the gray book. Okay, I want to tell you something really neat about this. They sent one to every home group that was known. To Philadelphia at the time, I think there was 30 meetings, and they sent up 33, because I went to this conference with the two other addicts. And as Danny was talking about, the black binder, that means participant, that's, you know, this is my personal copy that was given to me, you know. But when I opened up the box, I had tears streaming. I had to go to the bus terminal, Greyhound bus they sent in. I don't know. There was no FedEx yet. You know? And I'm in this bus station, and I'm ripping open the box, and I pick it up, and I go, thank you, God. And I'm with my girlfriend. I go, you realize this is NA history? And she looks at me, and she goes, what are you talking about? I go, this is the first time a Narcotics Anonymous book has been in the city of Philadelphia, and I get to open up this book. She said, you got a big ego. Like, why? How come not with somebody that understands? You know, like, I went to the Santa Monica conference. I have minutes from that. Danny had mentioned it. I got to chair one of the meetings at the Santa Monica conference. We would kind of, you know, Bo would have different people like run the business meeting. You know, we would have like probably three business meetings a day at the conference. And somebody brought up the word chronic, and they thought it should be struck from our basic text. Actually, it was still in a big book at this point. And we got into a discussion on the word chronic, read from the dictionary. It probably was over an hour discussion, heated discussion, over whether that word should be in there. So, you know, like, words matter, you know. Speaking about words, I got to backtrack one more thing. This is a style sheet that's in the back of the gray book. Okay, it talks about our language. Clean, condition of abstinence from drugs. Clean time / sobriety. You know, addict, addiction. Like, this was our process, because up until this point, you know, I had, 1981, so I had about 4 years sobriety at this point, you know, in NA. You know, we weren't clean and sober, we were sober, you know, and it slowly started to change when this came out, you know. By the time we got to Ivyland, where Al was talking about the story conference, I'm pretty sure that that was in 81 in Pennsylvania. It was about writing, the stories. And the stories were always, I had someone, I spoke at a conference in Albany, or at a history day or something, and somebody said, yeah, who decided to put the stories in there? Like, when were they put? And I'm looking at them. I go, they always were. When in Lincoln, when we did our outline, the outline was formed from the little white book, which has stories in it. You know, it was basically a blown-up white book. It was the idea behind it. So we had to get stories done, and I was asked to write my story. I hadn't written it at that point, because I talked to Greg, and Greg's story was in the little white book, and he would tell me they actually had a meeting in California. It was his home group. There'd be 80 addicts there. I'm like, 80? Oh my God, are you kidding? You know, my home group now, we top 100 regularly, you know, but 80 addicts in one meeting was like a convention, you know, like, and he said that if your story gets published, people will know that it's in there, and you'll become, you'll lose your anonymity. And he said, and sometimes I feel like when I go to a meeting, I have to really watch what I do, because I represent NA, because when I'm in a meeting, I see people pointing, and they say, hey, his story's in the little white book, you know, and he says, and so I have the responsibility to act like, you know, a good NA member. And he said, and so, like, I listened to that, and I thought, well, shit, I don't want that. You know, I got a couple things yet to do, you know. But they had different categories. As Al had mentioned, that the idea behind the basic text was that you could open it up and maybe not identify with every page, but that if you went through the book, you would find something that you could identify with. So for the stories, we wanted to cover every possibility. And I had got clean at the age of 17. I just turned 17. I had, at this point, about, I don't know, 4 years when the story conference was going about. And they said, we don't have any addicts that, you know, that got clean as a teenager and that have, you know, significant clean time. We would like you to write your story. And I reluctantly wrote it, and I say reluctantly because I was like not, like, you know, like Greg kind of, you know, was not a super, you know, I didn't want a spotlight on me, you know, and, but anyway, I wrote it and it got accepted. I'll wrap up with this. When the first edition came out, I got such a... Oh, okay. I thought I was running out of time. I'm going a lot longer than these guys.
Hey, George, tell me about the prayer. The prayer.
Okay. And I actually, if anybody looked at me when Al was speaking, I was reading, I was looking at my cell phone. I have basic text on my phone. And what I read is, what's it known as now? The service prayer. To me, it's still known as the literature prayer, because that's where it comes from. It talks about, you know, help us write, you know. Before every conference meeting, every conference workshop, at our home workshops, at, you know, we our own literature in Bucks County and in Philadelphia, before we started, we would read that prayer. And when that prayer was read, it was almost like, but I'm getting goosebumps now, like the fog would roll in and you could just feel everyone would release their control and, you know, and kind of let God's will take over, because we were there for a purpose. Oh, yeah, and that's it. At the Memphis conference, we talked about I understand a little bit about history, and I wasn't doing it to be remembered. Or we talked about how this was going to change Narcotics Anonymous, and the purpose of us writing it was for addicts seeking recovery today, addicts that haven't used yet, and addicts that haven't even been born yet. We knew this was long term. And for me today, sometimes I get asked to speak, and I got introduced as he's been around so long, he's been clean longer than I've been born. Right. Before I was born, actually before my parents even met yet. I go, well, I'll take that as a compliment.
I guess.
And I get tears in my eyes because that's who we were talking about when we were doing this. And to hear, and then I hear people share how the basic text, or I'm sharing and this is what they share, and they share how the basic text saved their life. And like, you know, I got involved with this because I wanted to meet other recovering addicts, you know, and I guess my willingness was at a level, you know, that I was able to participate. I was young enough, I didn't have a lot of responsibilities, so I could travel. But anyway, to get on with this story thing, thanks for reminding me about that, Dan. When the first edition came out, the first thing I did, my story was accepted, by the way, and so the first, when Basic Text came out, like, I went peeling through the book looking for my story, peeled through it, took the thing, this hunk of shit. That was probably about a $2,000-$3,000 throw, you know, today. It wasn't in there, okay? And I called Bo up, and at this point I had gotten out of service work when the basic text came out. I was burned out. In 1980-81, I was doing, I was co-chair of the Second East Coast Convention. I ran the two literature committees. I was public relations chair for Philadelphia area. I was attending the literature conferences. You know, so like, I just got to a point where, you know, like I had nothing left to give because I wasn't taking care of who I was. And so, when I didn't see my story right away, now, I still hadn't worked any, I didn't have a sponsor yet. That was for new people. That's a whole other story. But I got a sponsor shortly after that. And I work probably, you know, I daily work a program. I do set work. I read. I pray. You know, I even added exercise into my program. I'm doing pretty good with it. But anyway, at the conference, I wrote my story. And I signed the release form, but I didn't name my story. So I signed a release form, George R. I released my, any rights to my story, and then I turned in the story. Well, later on, somebody named the story. Right. It won't get any worse. And when they went to print the first edition, there we had an attorney there, and the attorney said, wait a minute, we have this story here, but we don't have a release, a liability release with the story. You know, we also have a liability release without a story's name. And they, so if we assume that those two go together, and they don't, you know, whoever story this is could have, you know, a possible, a suit against us, So they chose not to put it in there. Word didn't get back to me, and to say that I was disappointed, I was angry. I called Bo up. I don't know if he even tried to give me an excuse, but I'm sure that every other word was F, and on my side, and I hung up on him. I later found out that that was the reason why it didn't go in. But, you know, when it came out, it stayed until the fifth edition, and I always struggled with it at that point because I felt like I was wrong, so I had a resentment, and I didn't realize this, I have an autistic son, he's 16 now, for quite a few years, close to 10 years, I didn't make meetings when he was younger, and I actually Danny got me back involved through doing a history thing. He came over to my house with a camera, and they were interviewing me about the basic text. My kids were like, "Dad, these people are treating you like somebody famous. What's going on?" I go, "Well, I helped write this book, and you know, I used to go to these meetings. How come you don't go anymore?" I go, "Well, you know, I got Steve. He's, you know, he needs a lot of help." And I go, "Well, Steve's a twin. So I think his brother was like 11, and my daughter, she's a year and a half older. She was either 12 or 13. And she says, "Well, you know, we can watch Steve if you want to go to a meeting." That day my air conditioner broke, and Danny recommended a guy in the program that was in my house for the next 3 days, going up and down the steps saying, "You know, if it wasn't for your dad, I wouldn't be alive today." He helped write the basic text. It saved my life. He sorted meetings. I have a place to go to. He helped set this up. I'm so grateful that your dad, you know. "Dad, how come you don't go back?" My wife says, "Hon, if you want to go, you know, I'm okay with that." And I'm like, habits form both ways. And once I stopped going, now, you know, everybody I hang out with goes to meetings, you know, but just back in the early days, like, I didn't need to work the steps. I didn't need to go to meetings, you know. I was at a meeting. Karen was speaking. Night step, I remember, because I'm like, "What do you mean immense to yourself? That's bullshit, you know." I remember to a T. And that's where I was at then. But this guy came up to her and said, "I got a copy of the Gray Book online and through eBay." And I'm like, "Dude, I got my own copy. I got it at a conference." And I turned around and walked away. I'm like, "Boy, you were a really big dick. Like, what was that about?" You know? And I had a sponsor. I called my sponsor up and I go, like, "I don't even know, why did I do that?" You know, and so we started looking at it. And here I realized that I had a 30-year resentment against the basic text. And then actually thinking about it, I never read it from cover to cover. So, fuck that fucking book. You know, it warned me, you know. So I decided to read it from cover to cover. Now, one of the things that when the sixth edition came out, I did get numerous phone calls telling me that they took my story out. But the reason why they took it out, they asked me to edit my story to like update it, and guess who wasn't making meetings? And I said to them, "I know what you want, but I can't do it because that's not who I am today." And they said, "Well, do you want us to leave it in there, or do you want us to take it out?" And I said, "Well, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'll let that up to you guys decide what you want to do." I said, "But I'm not in a position where I can, add to it at this point, you know." And I left it at that, and then when the sixth edition came out, it was taken out. C'est la vie, let's... back to the resentment. So I start reading from cover to cover. I get to the stories part. I'm like, okay, and I thought about it, I'm like, that's bullshit. My resentment was because of the stories. I would read the stories. When I go through the reflections, and about the third or fourth thing, reflections it talks about, in case you don't know, it has a, something about excerpts from these, from stories that were in previous editions that have significant historical value from the 70s and early 80s. And I'm reading it, and I start reading it, and like the third or fourth one in there is me. Had I not had the resentment, had I not started going back to meetings, had I not called my sponsor and decided to start reading about it, I wouldn't have no way of knowing that. And as I started reading it, like tears, and I said, "Thank you, God," because to me that was a signal that I'm on the right path today, I can't change what I did or didn't do yesterday, But I'm on the right path today. Thank you, God, for letting me see that. I am so grateful to have been a part of this. I love the basic text today, and resentments are like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. You know? I don't have to live that way today. Thanks for letting me share.